Do you want to get smarter about your health but feel overwhelmed trying to separate fact from fiction? Well, I deeply understand that, and that's why I want to find a source that we both could trust, you and me. And I found this podcast. So let me introduce you to the Zoe Science and Nutrition Podcast. With the help of world-leading scientists, they help you make smarter, healthier choices every single week. And don't just take my word for it. Avid podcast fan Joanne's Apple Review says this. Joanne's Apple Review says, Zoe Science and Nutrition is always informative and always understandable, and that she's definitely a healthier person listening to this and following Zoe's advice, which I love. We love sources that you can trust. And if you're ready to join millions of others like Joanne, transforming their health and like me, then search for Zoe Science and Nutrition wherever you listen to your podcast. I promise you will not regret it. It is an awesome show, and I've learned so much from it. Go check it out.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Where are you delaying your purpose due to perfectionism paralysis? Where do we maybe get caught up in judging ourselves, our place in life, our bodies, our creative expression, and the work to the point where we are getting in the way of our own inherent greatness? Today, I have the perfect person to dive into this very real and very relatable truth with. So many of us face this. She is an incredible certified holistic health coach, hormone specialist, podcast host, of course, of Inner Growth, an amazing creative, and a true ball of sunshine, an Aries in my own heart. I love the fire. I love the passion. I feel like we are just so deeply in alignment and meant to be creative friends in this way together. We've been internet friends for a while now, and I've been on her podcast, and I just went on her podcast again, and it was such a good episode, so you should definitely go listen to that on Inner Growth. I really feel pulled to her kindness. Like, I feel like she is so kind, so generous, so giving, and it's evident that the work that she does is because she genuinely loves it and loves to help other people, and it's coming from this place of, wow, like, I really just want to help others, like, especially other women, embody their greatest self and their healthiest self, where they're just actually deeply in love with themselves. I am just so grateful for you guys to meet her. A lot of you might already know her though from her content, from her podcast, and I know we're gonna love this crossover, this pod swap that we are doing. So skinny dipping fam, please welcome on the queen, the New York City baddie, the health goddess, Carolina Salazar.
Oh my god.
Hey queen.
Hello. Oh, that was so nice. Words of affirmation are literally like my number one love language.
Really? So that makes me so happy. That
warmed my heart so much.
Yay, because I got lost in the sauce because I was like, I just want to say what I feel. I don't want to say what I wrote. But then I was like, wait, now I'm lost. But I genuinely just, that's fully from the heart. Like, I think me and you, I just, you know, I see aspects, even though we are different, like I see very much so like similar aspects in our energy. And I just feel like I love seeing mirrors within people because I'm like, wow, you're such a beautiful ball of sunshine. And then I'm like, wait, so am I.
Yeah, exactly. So we're just two balls of sunshine. Yeah,
we're just literally like the entire fucking solar system. So No, I just really am so excited to have you on, especially because, you know, we are going to be diving in today about body image and about your journey, perfectionism. So I just want to like give a little warning if that is like too intense for somebody right now. You can go to listen to our episode. It'll be linked below that we did on Inner Growth if you feel like that is too much. But I feel like so many people have been waiting for me to have this conversation around perfectionism and body image because so many people struggle with it. And there was nobody else that I wanted to come on to do this besides you because I feel like deeply trust your point of view on everything, and you've also experienced everything firsthand and come out on the other side of it. And I wanted to have somebody on who's been through that experience and grown through it. So
it's really hard, and so it's like important to talk about it. It's and I so think important. Like for some people, it's like trigger warning, but at the same time, it's like when I was going through it, I didn't have anyone to look up to. I didn't have anyone who was talking about it. And so it's like what I desperately wanted, or I wish I had, which is kind of the fuel of why I talk about it too.
And it's also just like that inspiration to be like, oh my gosh, like you, and I'm so excited to dive into your story so everyone can further understand this and like about you and your story and how it was reflected in your life. But I think the inspiration and the hope, it's always coming back to the hope to be like, okay, this person like learned so much and evolved so much and I can too. And yeah. I think that's the most inspiring thing, and the way that you operate is just so inspiring and so beautiful. And I would love to just kind of dive in to your story and like, what has this path looked like for you in terms of perfectionism, in terms of body image, in terms of, you know, struggling with food and that relationship there and your relationship with yourself? Can you just give us like, you know, not even an overview, but like a deep dive? Like, we are here to hold space because I want people to truly understand like where you were and where you are now and like what was needed. So
yeah, of course. I'm like happy to talk about it. And I feel like in my journey, I've gone through like literally every side of a tough relationship with your body and with food. And so I understand a lot of different perspectives and I can share a lot of different perspectives too. Mm. So for me, growing up, I was the older sister. So I've always been like a perfectionist, very reliant on like external validation and like other people approving of me and feeling enough based on like receiving that validation. Mm. And so I think naturally that's kind of how I was growing up. I've also had other, you know, parts of my personality that have blossomed and grown, but that was always like a big root there. And so going into the middle end of high school, that's when like the body image stuff really started coming to the forefront. I moved to the US, went from Brazil when I was 13.
Okay.
So I like moved a year later, got my period for the first time, like going into high school.
Puberty moment.
Body's so it's like changing. Imagine you like move countries, you move continents, you become a teenager. Like you get your period, your body starts to change, your hormones starts to change. Like everything was changing and I was like in a space with a different culture where I felt really alone.
Yeah, uncomfortable.
I was really uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And so that was really hard for me. And I think that shift, like that move for me, really started to affect my feelings of like self-worth because I felt like no one understood me. I felt really alone. I felt just lonely. Yeah. And I think when you're a teenager too, like just became a teenager, like 13, 14, people are really clicky and they're not so nice. And like, they also don't really know who they are. And I think it's like, it was a hard shift for me. And so I started trying to control other things in my life to like make friends. And I really wanted people to like me and I really wanted people to accept me and I wanted boys to think I was pretty and whatever. So that was kind of underlying all of that. And so 2.5 to 3 years after my move, that was like towards the end of high school, I remember I had gained a little bit of weight while I was like applying for colleges and like just off of like, I was never someone who was athletic. I was never someone who cared like about food, about eating less or dieting.
It wasn't even on your mind.
It wasn't even on my mind. And I was also always the petite girl. Like I was always very petite compared to other people. So I was a late bloomer. And then as my body started to change and I became more womanly and my boobs grew and I gained some curves, I think I didn't know how to adapt to like that perception of myself.
Also the identity within being like, I'm petite.
I'm the small one. And I'm still short. So I technically still am petite. Because technically you're petite if you're under 5'3" and that's the definition. But like what I mean is more like I was always like really like the smallest, like tiniest person. People always thought it was like 5 years younger than I was type of thing.
Oh, okay.
Like so very I'd be late like bloomer. 15. People would think I was like 12 type of thing. So like late bloomer in that sense. And so in Brazil, it's very common for when you're like smaller for people to call you by like little Carolina. So like they would say Carolzinha. Like if you say like they use like the diminutives a lot in Portuguese. So I was always the Carolzinha. Like I was always the small one. So as I started to gain weight in this moment in my life, I don't think I knew how to deal with that. And with social media at the time, like everyone was like posting like their Facetune, like edited pictures and looking perfect. Tumblr era.
Tumblr was so toxic.
It was just not like what I was seeing online was promoting a certain body type. And so I started really just struggling at that time. And I remember I had never had a boyfriend. I like had never really received a lot of male attention that much. and was starting to get that attention, whatever. So there's these boys that I liked, and there was this pattern that was going on where when a boy liked me, like, immediately after I would like them, we would kiss, I wanted them to date me, and then they said they didn't want a relationship, and then they would date the next person after me. So I was like, what am I doing wrong? Like, and then all these girls were, like, really skinny, so I was like, oh, maybe I need to, like, get really small for them to like me, da 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 la la.
Damn, okay.
I remember this was at the end of 2016.
Okay, so still high school.
Yeah, still like high school.
Senior year,
going into
year.
The second half of senior year.
Okay.
Like at the very end of high school. I go to Brazil. I remember I had gained this little bit of weight, and I asked some family members, like, did I gain weight? And then they were like, oh, you're a little, like, I don't know if they said, like, chubbier, but, like, I don't know. I basically got confirmation that, like, I had gained weight.
Okay.
So coming back, I fell into diet culture. I was like, I need to cut out carbs. I need to go to the gym and, like, sweat so much and, like, go on the elliptical for an hour. And I was eating very little and over-exercising. And I was like, no carbs, no bread, no dessert, nothing.
Yeah, like, a lot of restrictions.
A lot of restrictions. So I was very, very restrictive. And I started losing weight. And I remember that that's where the problem started to happen, because I started getting the validation. So people were like, oh my God, you look so good. Oh my God, you're so pretty. Oh,
like,
what are
mainly
you doing?
From guys, or even from your friends, your family, everyone.
Women, like girls, like other, like friends. Not even my family, really. It was more like friends and people at school, and like people commenting on my pictures on Instagram. Skinny mini, hot mama, whatever.
Okay.
So I started really getting
into
my head. Oh my
gosh, this is giving me flashbacks of like those. Okay, yes.
So I started really getting in my head of like, oh, I'm pretty because I'm smaller. What if I stop this? If I stop controlling this part of my life, what's going to happen? I'm going to lose love. I'm going to lose validation. I'm going to lose guys wanting to be with me, whatever.
Connection,
and so,
honestly.
Connection and
belonging,
but yeah. Also like self worth,
yeah,
like feeling pretty, and so, and I wanted to be perceived that way, and so, yeah, that was really hard because I remember being in this restriction and being like, I don't know how to get out of this, and I'm unhappy, and so I remember I had lost all this weight, and I would like miss on family dinners to go to the gym, and like I was just like really intense.
The values were just not aligned.
They were not there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then I was about to go to college. I remember I saw a nutritionist, or actually it was like a fitness instructor, like a personal trainer through my parents. And they were like, oh, you're doing good. And then they took my body fat percentage. They were like, this is like lower than like a bodybuilder. Like something's wrong. I had lost my period. I remember I like went on birth control because I was like, I need to get my period back. But like, I wasn't looking at the root cause, which was clearly that I was underweight. I get to college. It gets worse because I was, like, under no supervision. Like, my parents, they, like, were worried, but they couldn't really control me. So I was, like, doing the same things, lost more weight. My hair started to fall out, like, in chunks. Like, so much of my hair fell.
Just, like, really not eating enough? Was that,
not
like...
Not eating enough. And just not doing any self-care. Like, I would work out and I would eat quote-unquote healthy, but like I wasn't healthy. My hormones weren't healthy. My hair was falling. My stress was really high. Like I was also in like that college mindset of like partying more, and like if I would like bang my arm against something, like I would have a bruise for so long because I didn't have enough like nutrients to like heal my
your body's like
my
help
body. My body was like really help. Struggling.
Does it like still bring up like a lot of emotion in you, or do you feel like just you've really like healed it? So
no, I feel like talking about this like doesn't bring any emotion up.
Yeah, okay. Really. That's like a really good tell-all sign though that you've really healed this part of yourself though, and like you should be so
especially
proud of yourself.
Especially for sure. I feel very proud of myself in that sense for sure.
I'm so excited to finally update you guys about what's been going on my hormone journey. And the reason why this is so important is because I finally got my comprehensive labs done, and I had my first meeting with Joy last week, and it went incredible. I can't wait to update you guys. So if you don't know, Joy is a place where women can come to find answers and own their health journey and truly start to feel like themselves again. They are all about the root cause. They do this by having you do comprehensive labs, and then they pair you with functional medicine clinicians to find out what's really going on. And through peptide and hormone balancing therapies, they really help you with whatever you need. For me, my main thing was hormone imbalances and mainly low libido. And I had my meeting. It was incredible. it was so accurate that my sex hormones were just not where they needed to be. But it was also great to find out that some of the things in my chart were just like excellent and amazing. It was great to know that I was also healthy in other areas, but definitely it made sense, my low libido. So they're going to be helping me with that moving forward. They were so incredibly knowledgeable and I felt so safe and heard and understood. And I just cannot wait to dive deeper in and really see the changes with Joy, because these one-on-one consults with board certified clinicians paired with the labs, paired with whatever they're going to have me take, the peptide and hormone balancing therapies, I really think it's going to work. I really think so. I'm so excited because it's safe, effective, and scientifically backed. So I want you guys to join me on this journey because I don't want to do this alone. So it would be so fun if you also wanted to do the labs, and I'm going to give you 20% off of any labs. This is going to be so amazing because you can actually figure out what's going on. These labs are so comprehensive. You're going to go to choosejoy.co/skinnydipping. The link is going to be below and the code is skinnydipping. Choosejoy.co/skinnydipping to get 20% off of any labs today. Go check it out and message me and let's do this journey together. Yay. I'll update you guys.
I love that. So I remember Thanksgiving 2017, Scorpio season. Like, I go home. Mm. My parents, like, I was with them in this moment. I don't remember why, but I was, like, in my parents' bathroom, like, talking to my mom or something. And I was like, I don't recognize myself. Damn. I need help.
Like a deep, honest hour. Like,
and, yeah. I was like, I was crying. I was like, I just don't like how I feel. I need to do something to change about this. Like, this is not good. It's not working anymore. And then,
but what was that tell? Like, what was that tell sign?
I think honestly, it was like my hair. Like, yeah, it was like I was. Okay. I looked in the mirror. Like, my face was hollow. Like, I was like pale, and like my hair was dull, and like really not healthy. And like, I just didn't look beautiful. Like, I didn't look vibrant. Yeah. I didn't look like myself. I looked really small, like bony. Like, it just wasn't. I didn't feel confident in myself. Mm. I just didn't feel good at all. Like, my mental health was bad. So I was like, I just need help. Like, I need to do something about this. So my parents called a nutritionist to, like, help me gain weight and give me, like, an eating plan and whatever. I, in retrospect, wish I had also worked with a therapist at the time and started working on my mental health, like, then. But I didn't. So I just went to, like, let's gain weight back.
Yeah. Do you feel like you say that now because you think that that is directly correlated or even, like, a root cause?
I think because, yes, like, I think, as I said, my eating disorder didn't have anything to do that much with food. It was more me trying to control how people saw me, being liked, being loved, being pretty, being validated, etc. And so my, like, lovability, and it impacted my relationships and my sense of self. And so
and the self-worth.
That's why I think working with a therapist is really important. Later down the line, I did. So I'll get to that in a sec. But basically,
yes, in perfect
Aries fashion, I was like, also, like, I'm an Aries, triple Aries of Aries rising, but I'm actually a Taurus.
Okay.
But, like, first day of Taurus. So I'm almost an Aries.
You're like, I'm an
Aries. I'm, like, 0 degrees Taurus. anyway, so in perfect Aries fashion, I was like, I'm committed. Like, I need to get better. I'm going to do everything I can. So I really didn't face many blocks with, like, gaining weight back. I was like, at this point, like, I am determined to get better. So I followed the eating plan. I started eating more. Like, I was doing what I needed to do. And then what ended up happening, though, was because I didn't work on the mental health side of things and the root cause side of things, I still didn't have, like, my relationship with food and with exercise still wasn't optimal. Like, the way I thought about it wasn't optimal.
Yeah, and what was that mindset?
After I got to, like, a more recovered weight and I, like, whatever.
So on the outside, it was looking like you were recovering, but the mindset behind it was still the same. And what was the mindset, though, that kind of stayed the same?
So the mindset, I think, was, like, food is something to be controlled, almost, or to be judged as good or bad. So, like, if I eat a bad food, I'm a bad person type of thing. And then also, like, exercising, I didn't see it as, like, something for my health, for my mental health, for my endorphins, for sweating and feeling good and any of that. I just saw exercise as, like, to compensate for how much I ate type of thing. So it didn't heal that in for a while.
Very,
so,
like, controlling perfectionism, I feel.
Exactly. 0 or 100. Like, that was the problem. So what happened was I was on the 0 element of, like, deep restriction. The next phase was, like, the 100. It was, like, oh, I don't care. Like, I'm going to eat whatever. But then I ended up smoking a lot of weed in my second year of college. And I would overeat when I would get high. And then I would feel really guilty the next day and really shameful of how much I ate and how much I was out of control. And then I would work out and exercise for the wrong reasons. It was out of guilt. Okay. It wasn't like, oh, I love going to the gym. It was like, I ate so much last night. Like, I have to.
Yeah.
But then I also wasn't contributing really to, like, being at a healthy baseline because I was just I was just always in this vicious cycle of, like, guilt.
Okay.
So that happened for, like, a little bit. And then in my junior year was really when things shifted because things were escalating. Like, I was not taking good care of myself outside of, like, food and whatever, being at a recovered weight. Like, I just didn't have the best relationship with myself, like how I thought of myself, how I thought of my health. Like, I didn't know what holistic health was. I didn't like make the choice to eat a salad because I wanted the salad so bad. It was just because it was what was ingrained in my mind that like, oh, I can't go have a burger if I want the burger, or I can't go work out because I love this exercise. It was like just not coming from that place. And I also didn't have the coping mechanisms to deal with my perfectionism, to deal with my demands on myself and my self-judgment and my fear of judgment and
you just my didn't sensitivity. Have the tools
yet. I like, just didn't have any of those tools. So then COVID hit and I went back home, and at that time just like really was in a deep hole. I was like, what am I doing? I'm clearly not well.
Being and really hard
I needed
on yourself.
That pause in my life because that's when a lot of shifts started to happen. So I basically like learned how to meditate, like did the 21 Days of Abundance challenge from Deepak Chopra, started meditating, read The Power of Now, started just like my spiritual journey and started realizing like,
I don't know why, I'm just like, sorry, I don't know why. That was just like, I don't know. I don't even know. That was weird. That was weird. Ooh. I don't know. That was crazy. I just like felt like how powerful of a shift that was for you right then.
No, it was like big. It
like
was
a I feel lot. So many crazy chills right now. Ooh. That my eyes always water when I'm like feel super connected to like the divine. If you guys, I just randomly started crying out of nowhere. No, randomly, like it just hit me. Yeah. No. Yeah. That was a big dark. Shift for you.
It was like a really dark moment, and then like I found
the
my
dark
light
night of the soul. Yeah.
Yeah. I like started really diving into like all these additional things, like reading spiritual books, meditating, being in nature, like cultivating your routine. And it was really beautiful. Mm. Like, it was really needed. And I also did a course at the time called Becoming the One by this woman on Instagram called Rising Woman. She's amazing. Yes. So essentially, like, had this spiritual awakening.
Yes,
and in that
waking
moment,
up.
I was like, oh my gosh, I'm more than my body. I am more, like, Carolina isn't her body. Like, Carolina is way bigger than her body. She's, like, she's so much. And I think in learning about, like, my birth chart and learning about these books and the ego and, like, souls and all these additional things, I was like, wow, now I feel good. Like, this is health. Like, this is feeling really good. So at the time, I decided to enroll in IIN, became a health coach. But even in that, that's like another extreme. It's like, boom, like overeating, feeling guilty. Then I was like too extreme in the health side where I was like, cut gluten, cut dairy, cut all these things. Like
the pendulum swings.
Yeah. And then it was
and that's so part of much. It too. Like that's so part of like a journey, you know, your experience and your journey. The pendulum's going to swing back and forth.
Especially when you struggle with perfectionism and 0 to 100 tendencies, which is like a signpost of perfectionism. It's like, I became orthorexic, and this orthorexia is this extreme pursuit of health. So it's like I was cutting things out. Like, I'm not gluten intolerant. I'm not dairy intolerant. I just cut it out because one person told me it was inflammatory. But
like once.
I freaking I also cut out like all animal meat, all like animal products. I like went vegan for a bit, then reintroduced animal products in, also went off of my IUD. Like a lot of things were going on in like changing my health approach. But I did go through that period of like restricting a lot of things out of my life.
It seems like the common theme is this like extreme energy that comes through.
Yeah, exactly. Like being very black and white with my thinking. And so then in like last year, the entire year for me was really about like how I was like, I'm not gonna do this anymore. Like, I'm not gonna cut anything out completely. Like, I can add everything back in. So I added in gluten, I added in dairy, added in everything, like all animal products. And I was just like, what works for my body? And what is balance? And how can I, like, allow myself to have a wide range of things, like literally anything, because then when I do have it, I'm not like, I don't know the next time I'm going to be able to eat this. I need to go overboard now because I don't know the next time I can have it. And I was able to cultivate that in between and like learn to find that balance point with everything, with exercise, with food, with my approach to life. And I think also at the same time, like, I forgot to mention this, but when I had my spiritual awakening, I also started therapy. Okay. And so that's when I started really working on, like, why am I even having these struggles? Why do I care about what people think about me? And realizing that I just judge myself a lot. And the self-judgment is like, oh, I think everyone's judging me. I'm just projecting. So realizing that I judge myself and I judge things and I judge foods and being like, that's a bad food, that's a good food. And then the black and white thinking persists. And so it's also been about peeling back those layers and realizing that about myself so that I could shift out of that perfectionism and like find the right in between for me. And there's a lot of talk about balance online. And I think everyone has a different approach to it. But for me, it's been a lot about not cutting anything out completely. And I had to have these very zero or 100 moments where even like in the beginning of when I had that phase of no restrictions, no labels anymore, I'm adding everything back in, I got really off of routine. Like I was traveling a lot. Like I didn't have much self-care. And then from like September of last year to now, so the last 13 months more or less, I really created this balanced routine that's rooted in like commitment and stability and consistency and being like, I want to move my body. And so I'm going to commit to moving it 5 times a week in whatever way feels good. I don't have like a specific way I need to do it, but I'm just going to show up because I know it feels good afterwards. And I know it's good for my mental health and I know it gives me endorphins and I'm challenging myself in new ways. And the intention behind it changed. Same thing with food, being like, I love to eat healthy. Like I genuinely like healthy food.
You're doing it because you love yourself. It feels
really, really good. Yeah. And I know it's nourishing for my body, my hormones, all the things. But I love restaurants and I love trying foods and I love a margarita and I love a taco.
That's on balance, baby. Like,
exactly. So I'm not going to say no to those things. And so I'm not someone who ever is going to advocate like you have to cut everything out. And like I really never advocate for cutting anything out at all because that's what creates a lack mindset. And when you, unless you have like an actual allergy or like a real need to cut it out, if you think of things as bad and unhealthy and you use a lot of labels around it like that, it's really hard to find balance.
So in this judging yourself, like the judging yourself, the controlling, needing to control things, the perfectionism, where in your mental health journey and your spiritual journey did it shift? Like what was the inner worth, the inner growth, hint to the podcast, that you actually and actionably went through to begin? Like if someone was beginning to heal this part of themselves and they're like, I really want to find balance with my body and with my mind and with my soul, I want to balance these things and to genuinely feel good in my body, like what would be the thing that you would say people can start with? Of course therapy is so important and working with a professional is so important, but
you don't need to do that to achieve this.
Where does the mindset shift like start?
I think the first thing is asking yourself, like, do I expect myself to be perfect? Do I think other people expect me to be perfect?
Okay, what if the answer is yes?
If the answer is yes, then it's like, okay, what is perfectionism? And there's many different ways perfectionism comes up for people, but some examples are black and white thinking. Either I'm perfect and I do this perfect diet and I eat this way every day, and if I miss a day, what's the point?
Then I give up. Nothing at all. Yeah.
So it's like, the moment that you do something that you don't consider perfect, you drop it.
Yeah, that's a big sign that you're deep in perfectionism. That's a big sign that you're right
perfectionist. Yeah. Also, being really afraid of judgment or like wanting to seem like you're perfect because you don't want people to judge you. So worrying a lot, like, what do people think about me? Are people judging me? Are people talking about me?
Yes. Okay, can I ask you something? So something that I've realized, a big like aha moment that I had a couple weeks ago, is I kept hearing like a voice of somebody that used to be in my life every time that I had a judgment. Like I would just be like, oh my God, this person probably like thinking this of me right now. like, that person does not even think of me. I'm sorry. But I had this realization. First of all, I was like, not gonna lie, I was like very like high in my backyard, just like thinking about this, being like, why am I getting so caught up? And I started with like, why would I even care what this person thought? And I kind of went down this rabbit hole, and then I realized they're just this archetype that I've created to be my critic.
But it's like your inner critic.
Yes. My inner critic. I didn't even think about my inner critic as me, or even my mom. A girl. Yeah.
It's interesting because like,
and I literally people, heard like their a man's voice
also. Like,
yeah.
I always ask my clients to think of like a word or like a name for their inner critic.
Mm.
And for some people, it's like a man's name. Mm. Like, it could be like Brad or whatever. Like,
no, mine was literally the person, and I noticed myself doing it with another person recently, like a couple nights ago. I was like, damn, this person's probably thinking this and this of me. And I was like, no, Kayla, they're not thinking about you at all. That's what you think of yourself. Like, that's literally me judging me, but I'm like personifying it as this other person. Definitely is like a coping mechanism, mm-hmm, so that, mm-hmm, I don't have to like actually deal with it, and I can just be,
and
like,
you're like, wait, no, I'm judging myself. So like, what am I going to do about this self-judgment?
Exactly.
And that's what you actually can control. So exactly. It's almost like you think it's someone else because you can't control that person or that.
Because we think we thoughts, can't control
but yeah, then,
the narrative.
But the thing you can actually control, you avoid, mm-hmm, which is like how you think of yourself.
Totally. And when I began to like take the power back and being like, and claiming it and being like, nope, this is actually me. And I would literally say it out loud, like me thinking to myself that this person's whatever. I'm like, nope, they're not even thinking about you. This is actually just me and what you think about you, Kayla. And then, mm-hmm, I was able to be like, okay, now that I'm being honest and being vulnerable with myself, not anybody else, I'm looking myself in the face and being like, no, this is actually – and I don't like to think about it as like, this is the entire way that I perceive myself in this whole narrative. I like to think about it, oh, there's still, especially when you're on your healing journey for a long time, because that can be really deterring. Like, why am I coming back to these thoughts and patterns and judgments? I'm just like, oh no, there's actually just a little string that still thinks this.
Yeah.
Just a little string. It doesn't have to be how, I know it's not how I see my entire being. Maybe it's how I did 5 years ago, but after healing and being on my spiritual mental health journey, I know like,
and again,
yeah,
you're not supposed to get to a finish line. Like, yeah, that's, again, the perfectionism. It's like, I need to be healed. I need to finish this. And then, it's like, no. Like, you're actually supposed to see yourself as imperfect and, like, realize that you have a shadow and you have flaws and you have failures and you have things that you consider that aren't – consider within yourself not to be so good. Mm. But doesn't mean that you're not enough. Doesn't mean that you're, like, that you're just not good enough because you're not perfect.
Yeah,
like perfection doesn't equal worth. Perfection doesn't equal like good enoughness. Like,
fuck nicotine. Fuck nicotine and join the fuck nicotine movement now, because small ripples make big waves. I am absolutely obsessed with my Ripple. Ripple is a British startup owned and operated by a brother and sister duo, which we love, with the mission to get the world off nicotine one plant-powered puff at a time. And basically Ripple, it's this really cute device, and it's a 0% nicotine aromatic diffuser that you can puff on with plant-based ingredients, an organic base, natural aromas, and a non-addictive formula. My favorite one that I have right now with me in Argentina is the Boost. That's pomegranate, maca, green tea, and this is for immunity and strength boosting, and I'm absolutely obsessed. I love this brand. I've had some of you try it, and you guys also love it too. So you can get 15% off your first order, or actually any order, 15% off any order with the code SKINNYDIPPING. Yes, that is the code SKINNYDIPPING. It's going to be linked below what the website is to check out Ripple, and check it out because they're actually just such a cool brand and I'm obsessed.
But yeah, a lot of people think that it does,
well,
which comes out of the extremes of like, I need to be in this perfect place, in this healed place, like whatever.
Yeah, and I also think it comes from a lot of like societal pressures to produce, like knowing like, oh, if I'm really good at something, if I'm really perfect, then I'll produce really good results. And then if I produce, then I'm worthy. And it's just like, do you want to be just – I ask myself this question, like, and you can ask yourself this question too, but this might seem a little harsh, but do you just want to be like – this being that just like produces for capitalism and society, or do you want to like be you and like and love yourself and like be happy with whatever you create and whatever you are? And I think for me that was like a big theme in my perfectionism, was knowing, oh, if I'm like really, like, really great at something, mm-hmm. then what I make out of it is going to be really great, and then people are going to like me, and then they'll affirm me and call me smart or talented yeah. or whatever. And now it's like, okay, no, it's actually about, like, the process. Like, yeah, no, I'm never going to be perfect, and I'm never going to be fully healed, and that is, like, not a bad
that
thing.
That is, like, a part of it. Like, that's yeah. your inner growth, too. It's, like, accepting the not-so-beautiful parts of you and, like, that they're sometimes going to get triggered by, like, mm-hmm. random things, and you just have to notice the triggers, and instead of going down this rabbit hole of, like, I'm not healed, oh, my God, why am I so triggered, why this and this?
Yeah.
It's, like, no, it's just a trigger. Like, that still exists inside of me in some small way, mm-hmm. and it's fine.
So what is, like, the conversation or the dialogue that you have with yourself when these triggers or judgments still come up? Because, like, obviously, like we're saying, like, it's a journey.
Yeah, I feel like it depends so much because it can come up in so many different ways. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, I don't know, two examples I can think about is if I have a day that I considered not so productive or not so good, or, like, I maybe achieved some things but not, like, cross everything off my to-do list type of thing. Like, I just look through my day and I'm like, I did this, and I did this. I did enough. Like, and I just tell myself, I did enough today. And
I love that.
Catching yourself in those moments where you're like, oh my gosh, I was so unproductive today, and just being like, no, I achieved this and this,
yeah,
that was enough for today. That's that. I saw this quote the other day where it's like, if there's one day when you can only give 30% and you give 30%, you actually gave 100%.
Yes, that is your 100% for what you can give. And, like, you know, there's a lot going on, there's a lot of overstimulation, there's a lot of burnout, and, like, the more grace that we can give, like, I think that was a big word, like, in a big mantra and affirmation that really shifted things for me, was, like, whenever those thoughts were coming up, just really focusing on give yourself grace, give yourself grace, give yourself grace. Like, yeah. that's so deeply what I need right now. So where are you at right now?
Important. Yeah. But then also it's like, if I'm at the gym and, like, I see a roll in my stomach or whatever, and, like, that old disordered eating self gets triggered, I'm like, I just have to, like, not let the disordered voice speak louder, because, like, the disordered voice could very easily be like, oh my god, that's so embarrassing, like, if someone saw that, they would think that you're, like, so, like, you're not committed enough in the gym, and why, what's even the point of going to the gym, and, like, are your efforts even paying off, and
the zero to 100,
like, the voice can really activate and go down this rabbit hole, and so I have to catch it. Like,
okay,
I had a moment today when that happened, and I was like, maybe my leggings, I just have to buy a size up. Like, maybe my leggings are just a little too tight on me and they're squeezing my belly. Maybe that's it. Like,
yeah.
And I was like, boom, like, whatever.
Yeah, literally. And no, also, that's,
like,
so true.
If you have a role, whatever. Most people do. Like, it's totally
pretty much
fine.
Everyone does.
You're not supposed to look like a model. Like, no one's expecting you to look like a model. Like, only you are putting that pressure on yourself and that judgment. And you really have to remember, again, it's like the inner critic. It's not you. It's like that ego. It's like that old version of you that still, those beliefs are somewhere there in your subconscious, so you just have to, like, notice that and know that is not my higher self, because my higher self is loving and peaceful, and that is the energy she's in, not the energy of, like, self-judgment.
So, like, it sounds like you almost, like, reason with yourself.
Yeah,
like, you're like, I'm gonna actually get logical with myself, I'm not gonna let this illogical spiral, like, keep going, I'm gonna get logical and be like, actually, like, maybe I should just, like, buy a size up. Like, I feel like that's also a big thing, especially for women, because, like, we go through, like, multiple different puberties too, right? Yeah. Like, what I was, like, 2 years ago, like, now I buy, like, two sizes, like, up. And, like, I'm just, like that's, it's not even, like, yeah, no.
That's some room.
And I'm, like, honestly, I'm hotter. I'm hotter two sizes up. Like, hey, like, maybe I was, like, when I, also, I just love wearing baggy clothes, first of all. Like, that just feels like the best thing ever. Like, I'm, like, let my clothes be, like, hanging off of me, like, that is just so fun. And, like, I love oversized shirts, and, like, just not even just getting to a point where I'm just like, oh, I want to focus on how I'm feeling and not how I'm looking, and that kind of body neutrality I feel like has helped me a lot. Yeah. And that's what you were kind of saying, that that spiritual awakening triggered, was that that realization that you are so much more than your body, like, so much more. Yeah. Like, that is the least interesting thing about us, is our vessel.
Exactly.
Like, and this is, like, just our little bleep, bloop, blop, our little vessel.
Also realizing, like, I don't know, I read this book at the end of 2021, going into the year where I was like, no more of this like restriction, like let's figure out balance type of thing. So right before that, I read this book called Journey of Souls. Have you ever read it before? Mm-hmm. You need to read this book. Okay. Wait, I think I told you about this last time I read it. I might be wrong, but
okay. Journey of Souls.
Everyone listening, listen to this or watch. To everyone listening, read this book.
Oh, I do.
But basically, it's this guy who was a hypnotherapist, and he was like atheist. Like he didn't. He was not a religious person, and then he started doing these like. Almost like a, what do you call it? Like an experiment where he was like trying to identify like a pattern between like the hypnoses. But then he started realizing that these people, they weren't just recalling a past life. Like they were recalling other things from like other past lives. And he was taking them to the in-between of like, okay, you just died. What happens? Like what happens
to your soul? I'm like, is this book called Journey of Souls or is it called Many...
It's very similar to Many Lives, Many Masters. But I haven't read Many Lives.
Okay, that's like the exact same concept.
So it's like basically like what happens in between.
Oh, the in between. Right?
So he started doing like basically asking the same questions to a lot of people under hypnosis to get them to their super conscious mind, I think it's what it's called. So it's not the subconscious, it's like a level underneath. And he started noticing a lot of patterns in what they were telling him. And then this book basically explains like how your soul chose this life and like why are you here and how do you choose your lessons and why do you choose them. So it would be like, for example, this woman who was like in a past life, or like she was having like a lot of leg pain in this life or whatever, so she went to him and then figured out that like many lives ago, like her first life ever, she was like a soldier in an army. So she was like really learning about like the physical pleasures, so she was like eating everything and like sex and war and fighting and whatever. And then in the after she died from that life, her soul was like, okay, I learned these lessons. For the next life, she was like, I want to learn how to use my brain. So she ended up being born, and she knew this like going into the life. Like her soul knew this, but then obviously you are born and you forget everything.
Of course, yeah.
So she was born into the body of this woman who like was trampled over by like one of those carts, like in like, again, many years ago, where there were like horses and like the wheels and like the thing went over her legs and she became like paralyzed. So she was in a wheelchair her whole life, and that one was about learning how to like read and like teach, and she became a teacher. And so she chose that, like almost. So I was like, oh my God, clearly I chose to be here as Carolina Salazar, as this version of myself in this body with these parents, born in Brazil, to do all these things because I'm here to learn certain lessons. And I might not know exactly what those lessons are, but like I'm here to learn certain lessons. You're here to learn certain ones. And like we're all here to learn certain ones. And the book kind of explains how like you have like soul friends where it's like those people are learning similar lessons.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you meet someone and you like really see yourself in them, it's because you may be learning some similar lessons, which is really interesting.
I love that.
So when I had that realization, I was like, whoa, my body allows my soul to live a human life. Like, my body is my vessel. It's why I can smell and eat and dance and cry and hug and do all these amazing things. So why would I put myself through this struggle of, like, hating my vessel?
That is so beautiful. And, like, I started crying earlier, right, randomly. And I wanted to tell you why, because I feel like that this is a good time to tell you that. Because I just want everyone to understand like the impact, because it's amazing to hear these things like from us, or like hear the cool read the cool stories in the books, but when you like have your own spiritual realization and awakening, like that's why I started crying, because I started thinking of like how literally like waking up and like connecting to something greater than yourself literally can save your life, and I feel like can save your body, can save your mind. Like I just think that is like so incredibly beautiful, and that's like a common theme that I'm seeing throughout a lot of people in my life, but especially in what you're saying. You were like, yeah, like on the outside you were working with a doctor and, you know, getting things in line like with your body and eating again, but really like the real key was this like mental and spiritual health that impacted your physical being and the way that you perceived yourself.
Which is why it's insane. Like, it's wild to me that not everyone understands that, but hopefully more and more people will.
Yeah.
But I think it is really powerful, and there's moments where we're really connected to it, and there's moments where we're not so connected to it, and that's totally fine. Like, I'm kind of off of my meditation game right now. And like,
that's okay.
I'll get back into it. Exactly. I'll get back into it eventually. Same way, sometimes you have to pause certain things, which we were talking about in my podcast. But ultimately, too, I think when I had that realization, I was like, oh my God, what? Like, this is what makes me feel good. That's what motivated me to become a health coach. And that's how I actually learned about holistic health. Through personal experience, because when I stopped only caring about food and only caring about exercise, I actually cultivated a way better relationship with it. And it wasn't immediately, but it happened through that mindset shift. And it's also why when I work with clients or like with my podcast, like inner growth is about your mindset. It's about your relationship with yourself, which is what helped me heal everything else. It's like when you work on your relationship with you and realize you already have all the answers and you're already whole and worthy and complete and you're already enough. And you're already growing, even if it seems like it's hard right now, one day you're going to look back and you're going to be like, wow, I was learning so much in that phase of my life. Like, it taught me this, this, this.
Yeah, so totally. And like also,
you're already enough, even if you feel like you're incomplete, like you are actually whole.
Yeah. So, and also, like, I like to say, like, your wounding is your wisdom. Like, whatever lessons you've come to learn and things that you have come to heal are typically the things that you are going to be able to help others with. And I think service is one of the greatest fulfillments in life. So it's like knowing that you got to go through that and that that doesn't just impact you, that impacts like the ripple effect of the entire world and other people's mental health and people that you might not even know. Like, you're working with a client who has a friend who has a friend. Like, it's a ripple effect of healing. And I think that is just like so beautiful to realize. And what do you, I liked that you work with one-on-one clients. Like, what is something that typically like you've seen a theme of it like coming up? Like, obviously a lot of what we're talking about today, but what is there like something that you can like that you maybe say to clients that make them just get it? You know what I mean? That make it just like click.
Absolutely.
That you can tell us for free. Yeah, no. But if you want to be her, work with her, of course.
Yeah, if you guys want to work with me, I have coaching available on my website, innergrowthcollective.com. We're going to plug that. We'll plug that at the end.
But like the free info. Okay, what is the thing that makes it click?
Every
for
one of my clients is a perfectionist, pretty much. So, talking about what we just talked about, like, what is perfectionism? How does it come up? What does it cause you to do? How does it affect your inner critic? What pressures are you putting on yourself? Like, all of those things are really important. And, like, having that awareness about yourself, like, this is the type of perfectionist that I am. That's really always, like, really helpful for my clients. But also realizing that, like, perfectionism bleeds into 0 to 100. So catching yourself when you're like giving up on things too fast because they're not perfect immediately, or if you're procrastinating things because it's not the perfect idea or the perfect time or you're not healed enough or perfect enough, whatever.
Like that seeing is the really signs.
Important, like noticing the perfectionism inside of you. But then also something I say, like, it's almost like this thing I talk about with everyone. And I don't post about it that much, but I honestly could. I should. But it's easier to communicate to someone in a coaching container. But it's the and mindset and the or mindset.
Okay.
So the or mindset is like, either I am perfect and I'm doing everything and I'm kicking ass and I'm da-da-da-da-da. Or what's the point? I drop it. I'm lazy. I'm off of routine. I'm off of everything. The and mindset is that balance. It's like, I can work out today and go to dinner tonight. I can go on a run and have ice cream. I can be a lot of different things. I can be a amazing content creator and podcaster and corporate baddie and coach and whatever.
I can sleep in today and I can be productive.
Yes, I can sleep in today and work out. I can sleep in today and get 5 things crossed off of my to-do list because that's I'm so more energized. So it's like, how can you think about adding things in instead of like all the things you need to cut out?
Yes. No, I love that. I love that. It's crazy because that actually came up in a conversation I just had with Humble the Poet. We were talking about like, we're talking in terms of like love, but also dealing with the addiction to external validation is what we were talking about. So very up, but more so in the terms of like love and in friendships and like that thing. And it's like, I was saying, oh, how can you just add more? Like, how can you just add more of the good things? Like, add more of the real dopamine instead of being like, I need to take my phone away, or I need to, like, take this away, I need to take all these things away. It's like, no. That just makes you want it more. Like, know your brain.
Yeah.
Understand your brain. Your brain is going to want so much more if you're like, I'm taking it away from you like a kid. Like, when my mom used to, like, take away my phone when, oh, my God, it just made me so much more addicted to it and want it so much more. But instead, I'm like, oh, what I'm going to do is, you know, I'm going to just like add more good things to my day. I'm going to add more real dopamine to my day. I'm going to add whatever I need to add. And it doesn't have to be like that either or, right? Mm-hmm. You're just like putting more good stuff into your life. And that's what I really love my therapist when we were working through things. Whatever part is coming up to heal and parts work, she's like, oh, we're not getting rid of it. Don't you worry, girl. We're not getting rid of it. We're just adding healthier things to it. And as we do it, I think that actually clicks in our brain.
And in a way, I think about that tying into what we were already talking about before too. It's like, yes, you're imperfect. Yes, you have a shadow. Yes, you have things about you that like aren't amazing and aren't perfect all the time. Mm-hmm. Maybe you don't want to acknowledge, or it's like you're in your subconscious and you don't even know it's there.
Yeah.
But you also have, and you also have all these amazing lights inside of you. Like, that's why with inner growth, I have like two core kind of like symbols that I use. Okay. The first is a sprout. I have that. It's my only tattoo, but I have a tattoo to my ankle.
Yes.
Grounded and growing. But a sprout is like, it's a seed that's just blossoming. So it's like, you have to water yourself and you have to like pour into yourself and you have to give to yourself so you can grow. But also you have to plant the right seeds inside of you, like the right beliefs and the right thoughts, etc. But then also the disco ball is like, a disco ball has a million different parts, a million different little squares of a mirror that it has in it.
Yeah.
And the disco ball is already really pretty, right? Even if it's in the darkness. But if you shine a light in the disco ball, it emanates light out. So if you shine a light in your beautiful parts and all of you, like all even the parts that aren't so illuminated, like everything in the shadow and the darkness, in the darkness and the light, if you shine light on all of those pieces, it's going to blossom out. So if you shine light on yourself and you see your light, you reflect light out and you're able to help more people. Wow. And you're able to be a better version of yourself.
Also with the disco ball, it's like broke. Like they're all tiny little pieces that are almost like little cut apart or broken pieces, but if it was like one whole metal piece, it wouldn't reflect the same brilliance. Like the fact that it wouldn't
shine in all those little lights that reflect out.
Yes.
And then also I use a disco ball too because it's like inner growth collective, so it's like all the different people who are on their inner growth journeys coming together.
Wait, that's so beautiful.
It's all intentional, but yeah, it's like that's what I mean. It's like the perfectionism thing is realizing that you have parts of yourself that are not so great and you have all these amazing other ones. So shine light on your light, like be proud of yourself for the things you are being amazing about and you are kicking ass at and you're, you know, doing really well in, and think about the abundance mindset from that
angle. I love that, because I think what would be a really good exercise that I think I'm going to do and take from this conversation is every time that inner critic comes up, instead of saying don't think that, push it away, because what we resist persists. So as I say all the time, so as we're pushing that away, it's just creating more stuckness, more resistance. It's not healing the pattern at all or fixing the problem. It's just like creating more resistance instead of being like, oh, I don't want to think that about myself, inner critic, and just like being avoidant about it. Instead being like, and what's something that I can give myself credit for right now?
Which is what I was saying, like, for example, in a day that's like you feel like you weren't so productive, ask yourself, what did I do? Not what didn't I accomplish? What are the things in my checklist that I didn't cross off? It's like, what did you cross off?
And like,
and maybe all you did that day is like you got 8 hours of sleep, that's, and you nourished your body with like a few meals, you know, every other hour or whatever, like 3 meals a day, boom, like you already did enough. Or maybe you like did one really big step in a project that you have. Like maybe you didn't finish the project, but you still did something.
Totally. No, I love that. And it also comes back to like that mindset also of like thinking about all the things that are going wrong and just trying to ask yourself, okay, but what's going right? Just little check-in. Like I've been doing that with my partner because I'll be so nervous about him. My little codependent self's like, what's wrong? Are you okay? And he's just like, can you start asking me what's right? And I was like, wow, who made you so wise? Yeah. I'm like, who made you so wise? And like, we've been like asking each other, what's going right for you right now? And like, yeah, doing that with your, with the people that you trust, with your friends, with your partner, with people close to you that really get you, just being like, let's talk about some things that are going right, and like expressing that too, and having people to share that gratitude like with strengthens each other it. Up. Yes. That's definitely what always I'm just calling into my life, is like, people who also want to hype me up as much as I hype them up, because I'm also words of affirmation. I'll also like give people so much credit where credit is due, and like just like lift people up. But sometimes I'm like, damn, I feel like that doesn't always happen. But also I'm like, what?
And it's like, what's subconsciously like, not everyone's happening? Like that.
Yeah.
And being selective with the people you surround yourself with.
Yeah.
I think like I am nice to everyone. Like, I'm abundant. Kind. Like, I am kind to everyone. I will be nice to everyone, or at least try my best to be. And I always like think the best, like I'm like, this person is so nice, like, da, da. But I recently learned this lesson. It's like, even though, you know, you might be nice to everyone, not everyone deserves your energy. And so you also have to be mindful of like, where are you placing your energy? And like, are you placing it in things that are nourishing you at the same time, and like feel totally. Reciprocal and feel nourishing. Yeah. And like, everything has nuance for sure. Again, nothing is black and white. And so yeah, maybe like have a friend who's going through it right now, and like they can't give to you as much as like maybe you can give to them, and like maybe they need you more. That's totally beautiful. And like, obviously there's even more nuances I can't dive into in one moment in the podcast, but it's like, that's just a lesson I learned recently where it's like, we need to build each other up, and we need to be really conscious of like who we're adding into our lives, and are they adding into our, like, are they building us up? Are they wishing the best for us?
Mm-hmm. No, totally. And also what's randomly coming into me right now, because I, like, have this best friend, and we've been friends for so long, and I feel like I'm always hyping him up, like, so hard. And I just had this, like, random download. I was like, damn, like, this is not a person I want to cut out. This is a person that's very important to me, and yet, like, to get validation from them feels like I'm fucking pulling it out of them. Like, I'm literally have people, to be like,
it's their last love language.
It's their last love language. But I'm just like, I just had this random download being like, you should just like ask. Like, you guys are really close. You should just be like, hey, like, I should just be like, hey, if you hype me up more about like the podcast and what I'm doing, like, it would mean a lot to me. And I feel like he would literally start doing it.
Yeah. And I'll give an example of that. Like, in my life, like, my parents are not big social media people, and I care about what they think.
Yeah, of course.
And so I had to have a conversation with them and explain to them, like, hey, it would mean a lot to me if you, like, listened to the podcast. Mm-hmm. Or, like, if you told me you tried one of my recipes. Or if you, like, liked my post. Like, and so they started making an effort. Like, my dad, like, he does not have Instagram. But he has Instagram. Like, he does not use it at all. He only has it so he can, like, go and like a post. No, or it's like, but you have to ask.
No, I know. I feel like I should do that with my dad, too. And, like, randomly the other day, like, I saw that my dad liked my TikTok. And he does not have any social media. No Facebook. No Instagram. No, like, he is, like, off. He is off the grid. Like, he is. And I was just like, wow, that is, like, the best feeling in the whole world. And I think it was my mom who had, like, told him, being like, you're jealous that I'm connecting with Kayla so much, but I, like, literally, like, I listen to her stuff. So it's, like, we're, like, you know, like.
Yeah.
And sometimes we need to ask.
You need to ask.
They don't know.
And the same thing applies to your friends and to your partner. To everyone, really. It's, like, you have to ask for what you need and for what you seek also, so that you're not resentful of those people.
Yeah.
Like, for example, Pedro, he works in an office. He's in the office 4 days a week, comes back, like, 7 p.m., like, 7:30, tired, and I'm out here, like, working by myself all day long, like, editing it myself, like, by myself, and I had to tell him, like, listen, I don't have coworkers, so if I'm asking for your opinion on, like, a TikTok or a video, it's, like, I don't have anyone else to talk to about this, so, like,
I'm like, babe, you can always text me. We can always go through the steps together. I'm serious. I love talking about social media with my friends, because I'm just like, it's so nice, because when you work for yourself, I get it. I'm like, and I'll do the same with my boyfriend, too. It's like,
I'm here in my little void. So I had to explain that to him, and then it clicked in his brain. He was like, wow, you're not trying to be annoying. Like, you're actually just by yourself all day, and you care about my opinion.
Yeah,
and now he's more open. So It's important to ask for what you need.
And that's important too, like when you're asking for what you need, letting them know, like a little gas up, like the reason that I want this from you is because I value your opinion and I value you. And that makes people be like, oh, I'm important to you. And that makes them want to do it even more also, which is so beautiful.
Exactly.
Wow. That was just like also such a tangent, but I feel like that's so deeply like needed to be said. Yeah.
And I think it kind of ties into what we were saying before in the sense that like, again, perfectionists really care about validation and whatever. And yes, that's a fact. But again, we are whole and worthy and complete even without validation. But that doesn't mean that it's not nice to get words of affirmation or for someone who you love to like gas you up and like
of course. Support you,
right? So it's not, again, it's not black and white. It's not like cut out all validation. Yeah. I don't need
it. It's like I can validate myself and it feels nice when my friends gas me up.
Again,
and mindset. The and mindset is like changing my perspective like crazy right now. I'm just like, I love that. Whoa, like the way that you put it, you're right. I asked you what was the thing that made it click, and that definitely made it click, and I'm sure for so many people, because it's also an actionable thing, right? Just add more and also notice when you're doing the black and white thinking, the 0 to 100, so that you can identify, oh, shit, I'm deeply in perfectionism right now.
Yeah.
What can I do? I can add more and. I can add more nuance. I can add more curiosity. I can add more, like, self-praise, honestly.
And I think that's a very interesting thing about, like, balance, because a lot of people think, like, Libra, like, the scales, whatever, like, black and white, like, opposites, like, yin-yang, whatever. But actually, I think the best way to think about balance is, like, the and. It's, like, how can you add more and how can you leave more room for more things so that you're not overdoing on any one thing and getting yourself out of the balance.
Yes, no, I love that because I do, yeah, when I think about balance, I do think about, like, yin and yang, but it's actually, like, can we just completely get rid of the two colors together and can we just have, like, this, a meshment and, like a good meshment?
Like, or think about, like, a scale. It's, like, to achieve balance, you have to, like, add a little brick to one, then add another brick to one, like, even it out, you know? But, like, it's about adding. It's about adding more instead of cutting things out, because cutting things out creates a lack mindset and that creates restriction and then that creates overdoing when you get out of the restriction.
Yeah.
Or allow yourself to break out of it.
Yeah. Wow. Dude, you're amazing. Can I just say that? Like, no, you. I'm serious.
I
like,
that love.
No, yeah, seriously. Like, you are so amazing. I feel like so many people are going to feel so inspired because it's like we started with talking about, you know, body image and our relationship with food. But at the end of the day, we showed by the end of this conversation that that is not the root. The root is that.
Your relationship to yourself.
The relationship to yourself. Exactly.
That's on inner growth, baby.
And that's on inner growth. Hey, we stripped down and dove in on the inner growth.
Yes, because that's it, literally. It's like when you heal your relationship to yourself and understand your patterns and be more kind to yourself and stop being so black and white and get rid of all that restriction and that, not even restriction, and also overdoing, like both, and just start focusing on your approach to life and being intentional with why you're doing certain things and choosing to do it out of, like, I love myself and I want the best for me.
Yeah.
That's when things really change.
Also, one thing I want to also say that I love that you mentioned that we didn't even touch on is, like, it seemed like in all these stages where you realized something needed to shift, you were always willing to be honest with yourself, admit it to yourself, and also tell somebody else and get help. And I think that's something that is so admirable that people need to hear is, like, sometimes, like, the first step is just genuinely being honest with yourself.
100%.
Yeah.
I always say this, like, self-awareness is the key to change. It's like, if you're not aware and if you're not honest and you're ignoring things and brushing them under the rug, it's like, you're not going to change because you're in denial. So you have to get past the denial and be like, okay, I'll take the blow to my ego. Like, I'm going to stop being prideful. Like, I am contributing to this. And I have a role that I play here. And that means I have power to change it.
Wow.
So.
Deep snaps. Where can everyone find you? Where can they find inner growth? Yes. Where can they find, you know, working with you potentially? Where can we find all things you, beautiful.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. This was so fun.
You killed it.
Thank you.
Seriously.
If you guys want to follow along, you can find me at The Carolina Lifestyle on everywhere. So Instagram, TikTok, YouTube. And then also if you want to work one-on-one with me, I offer coaching. So you can find that on my website, innergrowthcollective.com. There's a coaching section. So you can find like a description of the services there. Yay. And listen to my podcast, Inner Growth. That is on anywhere you stream your podcast and YouTube as well.
Amazing. And everything will be linked below, including our episode that we just recorded for Inner Growth. I went on Inner Growth. So that'll also be linked below. But all the links will be in the description. So it's nice and easy for you to find our beautiful baddie queen, because we all need more of her in our life. For real. No, that was like so amazing. I'm feeling so inspired right now. And yeah, you're definitely someone who constantly like inspires me, like, which is really nice.
So are you.
Because I feel like I'm, thank you. That's very sweet. I mean that. Yeah, no, I know you mean it. I feel it. And like, I don't know. I feel like I do a lot of inspiring. Like, that's like, I don't even care if that sounds like full of myself. Just in my personal life, not even like on the internet. That's not what I'm saying. Like, yeah, that's like part of what I do. But I'm saying in my personal life with my friendships, I feel like I do a lot of the inspiring with my, you probably like relate a little bit. I don't know, just with your close people. So it's so nice to talk to someone who's like, we're like the same age, like doing similar things with our life. And I'm just like, damn, you really inspire me. Like, you really, really do.
It's so important.
It's so important. I think
that's part of having an abundance mindset too.
Yeah, no, totally. No, it feels so good. I'm just like, wow, like the inspiration is just like flowing through this room right now. We're in deep flow
state. Yeah, no, we actually entered flow. Like, I don't even know what time it is. Like,
literally. No idea. I'm ready for that burger, though. That's for sure. Yes. like a little bit of my heart is like, I could do a burger with caramelized onions. When you said like the burger thing, I was like, that's what I want later.
Wait, I think I know exactly where I'll take you.
Yay! Okay, that makes sense. We're going to go New York it up. Final thoughts. What would you love, you know, to leave everyone with? It doesn't have to even be like a summary, but if there's just something that you really want people to get or click or understand, what would that be before we leave?
That would be, you're whole, worthy, and complete. That's my favorite affirmation. You're enough. You don't need something or someone else to complete you. If someone comes into your life or something comes into your life, it's adding to your life. It's not being your missing piece. It's not the light that's turning on, because you already bring that all. You just have to like empower yourself to bring it, but you are already whole and you are worthy of amazing things. So believe that about yourself.
Yay. Thank you.
Yay. Thank you.
Woo-hoo. And we'll hit the outro that I'll edit in, because I always do my little outro. Warmer, sunnier days are calling, so fuel up with them with Factor's no prep, no mess meals. If you are like me, sometimes you can forget to feed yourself when you're super busy, and that's why I love Factor. Factor's fresh, never frozen meals are dietitian approved and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. So no matter how busy you are, you'll always have time to enjoy nutritious and great tasting meals. With 35 different meals and more than 60 add-ons to choose from every week, you'll always have new flavors to explore, and you can have as little or as much as you want every single week. And if this interests you at all, I'm going to give you guys 50% off only for Skinny Dipping listeners. So head to factormeals.com/skinny50 and use code skinny50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month. Win-win. That's code skinny50 at factormeals.com/skinny50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month while your subscription is active. Go check it out. It'll make your life so effortless and nutritious.
As the weather is getting warmer, it's time to say goodbye to jackets and sweaters and hello to shorts and tees. I've wanted to update my wardrobe for the long haul, and I don't want to spend a fortune. I'm constantly wearing the 100% washable silk slip dress, and people ask me all the time where I got it from. I've also now got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking on trend year after year. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes, which you know is so important to me when it comes to clothing brands. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/skinny dipping for free shipping on your order and 365 day returns. That's quince.com/skinny dipping to get free shipping and 365 day returns. Quince.com/skinny dipping.